Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When your health matters most, trust South Central Regional Medical Center. From family care to life-saving treatment, our team is here for you. Find our services at scrmc.com. South Central Regional Medical Center. Excellent care and service, every patient, every interaction, every time.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dima Mixon. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place for a good meal tonight. Great place to cater your next event. All right, we're going to be talking basketball a little later in the program. Golden Eagles win a big one and still in a pretty decent position here as we go down the stretch.
Because they don't play early in the week. A lot of the other teams in the conference are playing. And I'm telling you, especially on the men's side, it's wide open. And I know several of you accused me of binge-watching Breaking Bad after my comments yesterday. But it's wide open, man. That's good news.
Binge-watching Breaking Bad. Oh, man. All right. Meanwhile, Golden Eagle baseball back on the road tonight. First road game of the year. They're at Southeastern Louisiana. Never easy to go over there. But although they didn't have a good opening weekend, but I believe they won their league last year, if I'm not mistaken. And then go 0-3 to start out the season. But anyway, the Golden Eagles there tonight. Who's on the mound, Damon?
Camden Sundstrom. Yeah.
All right, before we run this interview, we talked to a couple of baseball players yesterday. I want you to analyze what you saw out of Dylan Causey, the true freshman that came on the mound late with, I think, is it not fair to say, literally with the series on the line?
Yeah, I mean, it was in the top of the eighth inning, and obviously, you know, UC Santa Barbara had just tied the game there in the bottom of the top of the seventh, you know, with that two-run shot to make it whatever it was, 5-5, or I can't remember the score. I think it was 5-5. Yeah. But, you know, they tied the game there, and he comes in, and there's a, you know, runner on. Or was there two runners on? I can't remember.
There were two
runners. Yeah, and then they got the bunt there to bunt the runners over, and then two huge strikeouts. And for a freshman, you know, it was kind of reminiscent of a couple of seasons ago when Cross Sively would come in as a freshman, and he was nails. It almost reminded me of that, you know. But, I mean, it isn't just Dylan Causey. They have so many other freshmen, and we heard it from Christian Ostrander yesterday on the show. There's so many guys that he'd named, Cale Farr, Sam Mitchell, players like that who are all freshmen who haven't even seen them yet. And it's just another testament. And, you know, I've talked up this freshman pitching class as the best that Ostrander has had in his tenure here. And, you know, you saw it from Dylan Causey. Of course, he was not probably the first choice I would have had off the bench. If I just had to, like, predict who was the first freshman to come out, more than likely Sam Mitchell would have been my prediction. But I'm almost 100% positive you'll see Sam Mitchell tonight on the in Southeastern. But yeah, Dylan Causey, you know, that right arm, you know, sitting 92, 93 with the fastball and then working that slider. And he got UC Santa Barbara to swing at it, swing and miss on two of those pitches. And, you know, it was a really big moment. And, of course, it was at the bottom of the lineup. But, I mean, he did, you know, Carliner was one of the players he struck out. And Carliner had a really good weekend for the Gauchos. So really a big moment, really. And, you know, Oz even said it yesterday, right? He said, I'm not going to throw these freshmen into the fire. Okay,
you threw him. Did.
Yeah, two on, no outs, you know, at the top of the eighth with the series on the line, like you said.
Here's Dylan Causey. Okay, Dylan Causey on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Not his first appearance, but certainly your first appearance Sunday. And Dylan, what did you think when not only a game, but a really tough weekend series against a nationally ranked opponent is on the line, and Coach Oz calls your number?
If I'm being honest, I was pretty shocked, but I knew that they trusted me, and that kind of helped me get into the right headspace that I needed to be in to go in and just throw strikes and compete and do what the team needed me to do.
Now, you say shocked. Why were you shocked?
Well, it's kind of a completely different environment than I'm used to. You know, in high school, I was a starter, and then being in the bullpen having people get up and get down and get loose fast and stuff like that. You know, I wasn't necessarily the next guy up, and then I guess some things fell into place, and that's just kind of what happened.
All right, put us inside your body. You're walking out on the field. You see this crazy crowd. It's cold. It's windy. That hadn't stopped anybody from being in the stands. And the whole weekend's on the line. What was going on in your mind?
Not much, honestly. I just kind of tried to keep a clear head and really go out there and throw strikes. And then the first batter bunted the ball, and that was when it kind of hit me. And I was like, man, I got to field this. I was worried I was going to kick it into the parking lot.
When you had that successful outing, though, when you went back in the dugout, I mean, your confidence level must have gone through the roof.
Yes, sir. I kind of got heated up there a little bit and really trying to fire the team up and fire the fans up. I felt like that was what we needed in that situation. And they came in and they were like, you know, if it's tied, you're going back out. And I was like, oh, man. So I had to kind of sit down and cool myself down and get back into the mindset that I needed to be in to be able to go back out if I had to.
I know we talked to you a year or so ago on our show over at Laurel, and you were very excited. You had committed to come here. But what has it been like? Has this been what you expected?
It's been way better than I could have ever imagined. I love it here. The friends I've made here on this team and some of the older guys that have taken me under their wings, and then being with this coaching staff, it's been great to have Coach Oz and Coach Leger and be able to have them share their wisdom and their experience with us. I think that's way better than I could have ever even hoped to get out of being here.
Well, you played on a really good high school team, but when you first got here and looked around and saw the level of talent that you're now a part of, what did you think?
It just made me want to compete that much harder, you know. I mean, it's a great team, and they preach that to us, not to be upset if we don't get the outing we won or get put into the game, but that's kind of a good thing if you think about it, to have that many guys that you can go to in that many situations. So it's just been awesome to be a part of that.
What have you found is the biggest difference between high school and D1 baseball?
Definitely the speed of the game. I would say, you know, in high school, it's like maybe every team has 2, 3, 4 guys that are above average, but once you get here, it's everyone's good and everything's so fast paced. And if you don't take a step back and slow the game down yourself, it'll pass you up real quick.
Yeah, I have to ask you this: what was it like being in front of this Southern Miss crowd and actually being on the mound with the ball in your hand?
It was awesome. I was telling some of my teammates, it's loud in the dugout. When you get on the mound, I think it's 10 times louder. You have everything echoing off everything, and you're just right in the middle of everything. And that was really awesome. I like to think the fans got me those 2 strikeouts. It wasn't my doing.
Yeah, I think it was your doing. Does that make you nervous, or does that pump you up and make you play even better?
It pumps me up. I think I'm a big moment guy, and that having that and that adrenaline, and it just knowing that I had to do my job and the team was counting on me, it just – it's a good feeling.
All right, what are your goals for yourself this year?
To help the team win, help Southern Miss get back to Omaha. Not just get back to Omaha, but win the mm-hmm. College World Series. You know, it's not really about what I want to do. It's what can I do to help the team achieve our goals.
All right, when we talked to you the first time, you had committed to come here, and you've said it's even greater than you think. Any regrets at all?
Not one bit. No, sir.
Okay. And how good can this team be?
As good as we want to be, you know, we got to come out and work every day. I think this is, you know, I'm not around other college teams, but I'd bet any amount of money this is one of the best pitching staffs in the country, and I think we have a really good lineup, a lot of experience, and to go with that, we have a lot of young guys who are hungry and want to get opportunities, and I think that's a good mixture to have.
Coach Oz told me earlier today that moment that you were here in the game Sunday was just a really special moment of the weekend, and I guess it was for you and your family as well.
Yes, sir. It was awesome. My brother unfortunately couldn't make it. I think he got sick this weekend, but my mom and dad, you know, we live right down the road, so they were able to be here. Brother was watching it on TV. Got out of the game. All my friends were blowing up my phone. But yeah, that was really a special moment for all of us.
Well, you got a lot of baseball in front of you. Everybody's very, very glad you're here. And congratulations on an electric debut here at Pete Taylor Park.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Kelly, you coached a lot of kids. That inning has to have done wonders for the psyche of this true freshman.
Especially after it was over with.
Yeah.
Look, that whole inning was you run on nothing but adrenaline is what you're going. And after it's over with, you know, he had time to sit down and digest it. But that's why pitchers are different. They're just different cats, man. They're just wired different. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday. The best thing that Coach Ostrander has on that pitching staff are guys that want to compete with each other. They're all good, and they're going to keep each other on the way up mm-hmm. and getting better because they're all competing for that bigger piece of the pie. But Causey is another one of those Jones County guys. We talked about Camden Clark. He was a West Jones guy. Causey's a South Jones guy. Dickerson was from the Laurel area.
It's tough, man.
I don't know if it's the Richton Salt Dome water or what up there, but those guys.
I covered that years ago. Yeah.
They're just.
I know what you're talking about.
Those Jones County kids are tough as a $2 steak, man. Good for them.
Good for Dylan Causey.
Yes, sir.
What a great start for that kid. Daniel Stewart knows a thing or two about pitching. We'll talk to him. And there's still lots of basketball to talk about as well. Stay with us. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, former Southern Miss pitcher Matt Warren invites you to see him and his staff down at Eagle Tire West. That's where they sell premium Goodyear tire products, and they offer full auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company. They're on Highway 98 West. They're family operated, and that's important. Locally owned since 1985. Eagle Tire and their second store, Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. Daniel Stewart knows a thing or two about what was going on in Dylan Causey's mind, as well as other young pitchers that are on the mound. We're going to see a lot more of them tonight, I predict, at Southeast Louisiana. Daniel does our baseball analysis for us, and he's back on every Tuesday. And Daniel, we were talking off the air, you know, you look at it on paper, you think, Southeast Louisiana – Eagles ought to go steamroll them, but they're never easy, are they, Daniel?
No, they never are. We've talked a lot about these guys, and you know they're in the same space as the UNOs and the Nickel States. You know these smaller Louisiana schools. They're always going to be made up of these gritty players. They're always going to play you hard. Southern Miss is scheduled on their schedules every year, so they're looking forward to this game and they're going to play us hard. And we got our work cut out for us.
You know, they've got a beer garden down there in Hammond.
No, okay.
And it's Mardi Gras.
Don't
tell them what might happen down there tonight.
They're going to be keyed up today for Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras. They surely will be.
Overall, Daniel, from what you saw this weekend, what do you like about the Eagles? And there doesn't appear to be any glaring problems, but just your thoughts overall.
Yeah, we talked a lot about it. People I was sitting at the games with and just kind of after, if we'd wanted to start this weekend with an easy team, be 3-0, we could have done that. But we went out, we scheduled UC Santa Barbara, who we knew was going to be a tough team. And really, you look at us and them, we mirrored each other really well. Both teams hit the ball well. Both teams pitched well. Both teams, for the most part, played really good defense. And fortunately, we came out on top 2 out of 3. I think all around, gosh, we played pretty good. I was really impressed with how we came out hitting the ball well. Sometimes it seems like it takes us a little bit to get warmed up. We hit the ball well. We took some walks. Looks like the guys were pretty disciplined at the plate. overall, pitching was really good this first weekend. So, you know, I don't see any glaring holes right now. Davis Gillespie kind of got started off slow, but, man, banged one off the center field wall there at the end of game three. So hopefully it'll get him going again. But, man, I was really impressed with our guys this weekend.
And it's reasonable to assume that Oz is going to have these guys on pitch counts probably till a third of the way through the season. Yeah?
Yeah, starting pitchers? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, they all will be until they get up and running. And, you know, it's been kind of warm lately, but if the weather cools off again, they're really going to watch these pitch counts a little closer. But, you know, like tonight, you know, it's probably going to be a lot like what we've seen the past years where, you know, starter maybe goes two, maybe three innings, then it's pitched by committee there the rest of the game. But, yeah, they're going to watch these guys' arms here early on pretty well.
Yeah, like a Johnny Holstaff, you know, committee approach tonight in Hammond, of course. And also because Camden Sundstrom pitched on Saturday, you know, so, and he's starting tonight.
Yeah.
Daniel, you know, six home runs this weekend in the opening weekend, which you have to feel good about. But even more upon that, you know, six different players all got a home run. It wasn't one guy mashing the ball. You had six players in your lineup who all came away with a home run this weekend.
I mean, you know, our leadoff batter, Morrison, got one. Our nine hole, you know, Ty Long got one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's some power through the lineup top to bottom. So, as a fan, that's always fun to see. And, you know, in these tight games, you know, you need some guys with some pop. So, any one player can change the game with one swing at any given time. So, that's always fun to know as a fan that what can happen and what our guys can do.
I know primarily you're a pitching guy, Daniel, but from the hitting side, and we're not going to mention anybody in particular. This is just a general question. Because this team is so deep at just about every position, if you're a guy that gets into a hitting slump, a lot of pressure, it seems to me, on these players. Because the Eagles are so deep, Oz is not necessarily forced into a situation where he's got to stick with one guy longer than usual.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he's going to give them the opportunities. If we do have a guy that gets in a slump, I think he's going to give them the opportunities to get out of the slump. But I think we're also going to see some guys, you know, pinch hit pretty regularly. He wants to keep everybody on the bench fresh because you never know when an injury or some other situation might have you call on these guys, and next thing you know, they're an everyday starter. So, you know, he knows what these guys can do and what they're capable of, and they're going to coach him along the way. And if we do find a guy in a slump, I'm sure he'll give him the opportunity to get out of it. But that's the nature of the beast as well. You know, you've got to perform, and if for some reason after an extended period of time you don't, next guy is going to be up. So it's the nature of the beast.
Hey, no question, Daniel. We talked about this a lot yesterday. The bullpen was really, really strong for the Eagles. Probably the difference in the tournament and the weekend overall was the depth of Southern Miss, the Southern Miss bullpen.
Yeah.
But the starters were not terribly sharp. Are you concerned by that? Do you look for that to rapidly improve?
I do. And, you know, we all knew that Colby was going to have to make a transition from being closer to a starter. And, hey, we wondered who was going to take his spot. Man, we figured that out really quick.
I think we know who's got that spot.
I think we know our closer is going to be really impressive. But it's going to take some time for Colby to make that transition. You know, he kind of got rattled there a little early on, but he settled down. He's a good, mature pitcher. Our Saturday guy, Graydon Harris, you know, he's the one who's got the most starting experience. You know, got roughed up a little bit, five hits, I think four runs maybe, I think. You know, and he's a young guy. He's a sophomore, so he's going to figure it out. And McCarty, you know, McCarty and Colby have really a lot of the same stuff. They both throw hard. Mm-hmm. They both got good sliders. Colby just commands the strike zone a little bit better. So as time goes on, as these weekends go on, these guys are only going to get sharper. But it wasn't just huge, powerful, dominant performances by any starter this weekend. But hopefully, as the season goes on, they'll come around and get better.
I mean, personally, to me, the best pitcher that looked the best in the starting rotation was McCarty English. You know, Colby did not look good. He wasn't spotting his changeup very well. You know, if you ask him, you know, really, despite all that, probably would have only allowed that one run, which was a sac fly in the top of the first, because he kind of left that slider over the plate, which allowed that two RBI, you know, to pull him there in the fifth. But McCarty, the reason I think he was pulled so early was because his pitch count just got way too high in that first inning. You could maybe point to that being it was a very, very, you know, patient UC Santa Barbara lineup. You know, they fouled off pitches. They punished mistakes. In my argument, I would say McCarty probably looked the best out of the three, but I don't necessarily think, Daniel, that I'm concerned based on the opponent. Now, you know, if you want to go longer than three innings, there's no doubt about that. But when you're all on pitch counts and you're playing a pretty decent opponent, I don't necessarily think it's as big of an issue as some people are making it out to be on various social media sites.
No, yeah, I mean, therein lies the problem. Because people on social media are going to just blast everybody. But, yeah, I completely agree. You know, we had a quality opponent this weekend that could really swing the bats. And, you know, it's good hitters are going to hit good pitching. They just are. Yeah, McCarty had 35 pitches, I think, first inning. Yes. And those guys were probably on 70 to 80 pitch count days. So, you know, you throw 35 in one inning, it's gonna cut your time down really quick. But I agree with your analysis there. It's not something to really be overly worried about at this point.
I said that McCarty was on 55 pitches on Sunday, so he almost almost two thirds of that in the first inning. So
his allotment got used up pretty quick then.
Right.
Couple minutes left, guys. I want to go around the horn here, and we'll start with you, Daniel. You're our guest today. What do we know about Purdue and Baylor? I mean, we all know that Oregon State's traditionally a top 10 type baseball program. But Daniel, what do you expect to see out of a school like Purdue and then Baylor on the baseball diamond?
I don't know. Well, I mean, the big Baylor story was the kid that hit three grand slams last weekend. That's over all over the place. And you know, these Texas schools are going to be able to recruit good quality baseball players. Purdue being a Big Ten school, they're going to be an attractive place for a good baseball player to come. You know, historically, they don't have the tradition of the Oregon States. But I expect us to see, you know, good quality baseball from these teams. We're playing on the road in Round Rock, and, you know, Oregon State and Purdue are as well. It's going to be Power Five schools with good talent, good programs, and it's going to be a challenge for us for sure.
Well, first of all, you don't get invited to something like this
unless you're pretty good.
Unless you are pretty good, or have a history of being pretty good. Now, Purdue does have the largest drum of any of the marching bands in the country. Did you know
that? Well, that's good to know, Kelly. I'm a Big Ten fan.
Just...
I'm feeling better about things now.
They're going to have the drum set up somewhere banging on it during the game.
The largest drum. That's right. They have to carry it on a truck.
And that's your observation of Purdue baseball, huh, Kelly? You see why he's on the show, don't you, Daniel? He brings insightful stuff to the program, doesn't he?
Yeah, two words. Overpaid. but Baylor's in the Big 12, you know, and they're good in everything. Yeah. I mean, they are competitive in everything, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think Purdue's probably the weakest opponent outside in these three-game field. Of course, Baylor, like you, Daniel, you said, you know, three grand slams against, whoever they were playing. I don't even know who they were playing. But Oregon State, of course, a World Series team last year. So, I mean, it's just no breaks in the schedule.
Daniel, we appreciate you every week, and hopefully we'll get you back in the studio with us here next week.
Yeah, that's the plan. Look forward to it.
All right, Daniel Stewart, everybody, the Eagle Hour baseball analyst, and we're glad to have him. And he's a pretty nice guy, too, isn't he, Kelly?
And he learned something about Purdue today.
Yes, and he let you come to his Mardi Gras party, didn't he?
He sure did, yeah. How about that?
That tells you how extraordinarily nice he is. Unusually nice. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back, everybody. DBAT sponsors this portion of the program on Hardy Street, state-of-the-art baseball, softball training. Check them out. DBAT, great pro shop. Got a class for every adult and child athlete in the Pine Belt. And the expert guys to help you be the very best you can be at whatever game you choose. Forest Health reminds you that you are the most important player on any team that you follow. So with a new year here, be sure you get an annual physical, follow your doctor's advice, and make your health as good as it can be in 2026. Our friends at Forest Health will help you with expert medical care closer to home, and they're great people to rely on, foresthealth.org. All right, believe it or not, guys, and Dima, I don't fully understand this, Monday night Sun Belt basketball last night?
Yeah, I I texted or tweeted at our friend of the show, Craig Stevenson, who works at AL.com. He said he covers South Alabama and Troy and all the Alabama schools. So he was live tweeting the game last night between South Alabama and Marshall. Excuse me, against Marshall, which he told me that was a makeup because the game got snowed out a couple weeks ago. So okay. That makes sense for that. But I don't. I guess that would make sense for the other game too, because Louisiana went to Old Dominion last night. So I guess that was also a snow game as well. So
probably so.
Yeah. Very strange that Monday night games. But yeah, two more games, and man, guys, these standings just make no sense. Old Dominion, of course, the Golden Eagles will get them on Saturday at Reed Green Coliseum. They are 13th in the league in the Sun Belt, but sit four games back from first place.
Isn't that crazy?
That is just unbelievable.
South Al is sliding a little bit, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're a half game behind first. This should just tell you the standings. App State's in first at 10-5. You got three teams tied at 9-5 in second place, all a half game back from the lead. And then you got Texas State in the lone fifth spot and with only one game behind the leader. And then you have a bunch of jumbled teams between Coastal Arkansas State, Georgia Southern, Southern Miss, Louisiana, JMU, and Georgia State, all in the 2 to 3 games back from first. And then you have ODU at 4, and then way down on the bottom, you got ULM, clear separation with 9 games back.
So there's still a lot to play for.
If the Eagles get this one on Saturday against ODU, and later on in the week, Ted Alexander is going to be joining us, the radio voice of the Monarchs. The Eagles can get that one Saturday and then and split a very difficult road trip. They'll finish with two games on the road. If they even split that final road game, I'm telling you, they'll be middle of the – depending on how these other games come out. But you can't count on anything on the men's side of the Sun Belt right now. I mean, it is wide open.
Right.
We kind of joke that the NCAA selection committee probably wishes that they didn't have to take any Sun Belt team because there just has not been a team that's been
it is not
dominant.
It is not the league's best sport right now.
Certainly not this year. No. It's not. No. And actually, since Southern Miss has been in the league, baseball by far has been the strongest sport.
About the women, they're kind of in the same spot, really.
They're a little bit, you know, further back as far as the standings, as far as first place and where the Lady Eagles stand. But yeah, they play tomorrow night, I believe, against Louisiana on the road, off the top of my head, and obviously winnable game. Both Louisiana schools just been really bad years in basketball this year, so winnable game there. And like I said yesterday on the show, that both teams do have a chance to backdoor themselves into that top six. But I think both teams have a pretty good chance of finishing in the top nine, which obviously saves another game. You know, last year, I don't think either team – I think the women's were ninth maybe, but I know the men weren't, so they had to play on the first day. So if they could get in the top nine, they would at least get a day off, at least one. Yeah. You know.
So we have this week and next week, and then the tournament starts.
Correct. Tournament's 2 weeks from – today, I think.
That first week in March at the Pensacola Convention Center. So, I'm telling you, let's wait to see how it shakes out. But because there is no dominant team on the – and I still think that Arkansas State's going to wind up – I think Arkansas State will be the eventual number one seed after it all shakes out. And that's one of the road games that Southern Miss has up in Jonesboro. But there just hasn't been a dominant team. So –
I want to point out Missy Bilderback will be on the show with us tomorrow, along with Travis Creel, and then Thursday Coach Ladner will be on the show. So we'll get their perspective for sure.
Can I bring up something from baseball that and I know you guys get tired of talking baseball.
We don't like talking baseball, but you go ahead,
yeah,
Kelly.
Okay. I just found it really refreshing because when the game was on the line in the last inning for the Eagles, that Coach Ostrander called the bunt in an appropriate situation. And I know that sounds condescending, like who am I to question what Christian Ostrander – and I'm not questioning. I'm saying I'm applauding the fact that he did that. The reason is because, to me, it's still about winning the game. And strategically, that absolutely 100% was the call to make, is to put the bunt down. The reason I'm making a big deal out of this is when you look at the Major League Baseball players – Major League managers don't even ask Major League players to bunt anymore because they find it insulting. Major League players find it insulting. Doesn't matter that they're hitting a buck 60. They still find it insulting that you would ask them to put the bunt down. I thought that it was about winning the game, not about my own ego or the fact that I would rather hit the ball rather than bunt. Well, everybody would. But the reason why it's so important that major leagues bring the bunt back into play is because little kids these days, they've always looked up to the major leaguers. And if the major leaguers don't want to bunt, guess who else doesn't want to bunt?
The kids.
The little kids. And as a coach, you call the bunt because you're trying to win the game, and the kid rolls his eyes at you, like, why would you want me to bunt, and then strikes out. I was just so glad to see the bunt put down there and executed by the Eagles well in that situation.
Well, let me tell you something. The California team would bunt you to death. I mean, yeah, if they got somebody on first base, they were bunting. They were moving base runners around.
I watch all the games in the press box, but you know sometimes you can hear what the crowd is saying. And when UC Santa Barbara was bunting, one of the times you could hear some of the crowd going, "Hold it higher! Hold it higher!"
There was one kid that held it above his head.
Waiting for the pitch, and the guy in the stands. Hold it higher!
So I'm assuming we have some other Sun Belt baseball tonight, other than just Southern
Miss. Troy, you know, on the road at State, so that's probably one of your biggest names. I thought it was interesting, Tulane. Very, you know, predominantly good baseball team. You know, been into the tournament several times, challenges Southern Miss every time they play them. Tulane's going to UCLA tonight to play the number one team in the country in the Bruins.
Midweek game
in LA. How about that one?
Wow.
You don't think Tulane's got a little money down there?
I'm thinking maybe they do, Kelly. Maybe they do.
And they ain't driving the sleeper bus either.
Yeah. Well, who's playing in the beautiful Georgia State facility tonight? Does anyone know?
Georgia Southern. I'm not sure about Georgia State, but Georgia Southern is hosting Georgia Tech. So that should be an interesting game. Yeah. Georgia Southern got swept this weekend, though. So.
At the Georgia State facility, there will be Coach Pitch 7-year-old baseball. And then we'll probably.
You actually said you saw, I think, where Georgia Tech is going to play in that place this year.
They are. Georgia Tech is going. And the Georgia schools, say what you want
about
them.
They're both in the same city.
Yeah, and the Georgia schools are really good about spreading the baseball wealth. I mean, Georgia Tech's going to Georgia Southern. You know, Georgia Tech's going to Georgia State. And they are just right down the road from each other. But the University of Georgia plays about all those schools, too.
I think we have to quit complaining about that here in Mississippi. We have both. Am I not right about this state? Ole Miss both coming here this year. And you got Alabama coming here. So, you know, these schools are much more willing to play each other in baseball, and I think that's healthy myself. I think
I just think we should do away with the Pearl, Mississippi whole thing. That trust
150%.
See, I don't – see, Mississippi State finally agreed to play a home-and-home with Southern Miss, where Southern Miss will go there at one time.
Let's dump the thing in Pearl.
But Ole Miss won't do it.
Right.
It's either they come to Hattiesburg on their way down to Baton Rouge, or Southern Miss goes up there, but then they eventually play that second game just in Pearl.
Correct. That's a terrible facility. It's just outdated and just not very good, I don't think.
By the way, the women's golf team tearing it up. Their first tournament down at Wind Dance on the Gulf Coast.
Kind of a round robin
tournament. They're going into today's play. They won yesterday in their little pod so that they'll go on to the their first tournament of the year
Speaking
on the Gulf Coast.
Golf. I was watching Tiger Woods' press conference today because the Genesis Invitational is this weekend. That's like his tournament that he puts on for the PGA Tour. Big PGA Tour fan, by the way. But he said today that he is not ruling out playing in the 2026 Masters Tournament. So if you're a golf fan, that's pretty interesting.
How is his game now? Is it still?
No, he's obviously
Tiger Woods, but I mean.
Yeah, no, but I mean, he's had so many surgeries and injuries. Yeah. You know,
he could still come to the Hattiesburg Country Club and just wipe the floor with everybody there, correct?
Probably so. Yeah. You know,
what do you think, Kelly?
I would think so, yeah.
He's not like a Scotty Scheffler or something like
that. As long as he doesn't run into our kid.
Yeah.
What's the one that's been out here before?
Oh, from Ripley.
I think he'd take Tiger on.
And most of Tiger's injuries have come from baseball bat beatings from his ex-wife. So, you know, if he would have made better decisions there, he might be in a little bit better shape.
He's been pretty good in his career, though.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we've got one more segment to go. As we head into the break, I want to remind you about two great clients, Mo Babinier Company, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Check out their Facebook page. Kelly can probably tell you what the topic of the month is. At Genesis of Hattiesburg, which is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, Genesis vans, SUVs are all in Mississippi's exclusive showroom, Highway 98 West Hattiesburg. Stray Cats, Kelly, as we go into the break.
Meow.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Some of the things that go on here.
Has he calmed down yet, Bob?
During the break.
He's hysterical.
Kelly's telling Dima about a Daytona 500 winner we had on the show one time, and Dima's completely ignoring him. And Kelly goes, well, I'm glad you're so excited to hear that.
Yeah, Dima. Calm down.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Ricky Stenhouse, you know, won the Daytona 500 a couple years ago, and he's from Olive Branch, Mississippi. Uh-huh. So I was trying to put all these things together. And
so what child event did you miss to go to that? Was it your children's wedding?
Yeah.
Was it
my kids were long gone.
Graduation?
Yeah, they were long gone.
Have you ever gone to a NASCAR race?
Oh, of course.
You're an Indy guy, I know.
Any kind of racing.
You like just like auto racing.
Yeah, you know? Talladega, been to Talladega.
There's a big
a
wreck
times.
At the Daytona, right? Did you see it?
Was there a big wreck at the Daytona? Boy, Dima, you are on top of things, buddy. Anytime there's a race at Daytona, there's probably going to be a big...
What happened with Bubba Wallace? It seems like I read something that he got real dramatic as always. At the
well,
end.
he just felt like they had the equipment to win this year, and he had a really good speed week, and it finished 10th. I mean, that's, you know, 10th out of 41, that's not bad.
He's just not that great, is he?
He's not bad. He's not bad. He's certainly not the best driver out there. But Michael Jordan owns his car, you know, as well. And I think that he thought that, you know, this was a chance for.
And where did he get the money for that?
Michael Jordan? He's played a little basketball with the Chicago Bulls. You remember him? And, of course, Vaguely. He wasn't being paid at North Carolina while he was there, I feel certain.
I'm sure. That would have never happened at North Carolina, Kelly.
Now we can talk about our Winter Olympic update.
Oh, I've been waiting on this. Can you please share this with me?
Who won the curling gold?
I'll have to admit I have missed. Did y'all know Jack Duggan is a big curling fan?
Yes, I told you that.
I know, and I sent him a text and picked at him about it, and he texts me right back and says, yeah, we suffered a tough loss.
Yes. He curling. Was talking about it. Now, I will say curling itself is a fascinating sport. But apparently Canada cheated. Did y'all see that story?
In curling?
Yes. That the guy touched the, what do you
rock?
Call it? The rock, you know? Jack's going to call in and say, what are y'all doing? But,
that with the 29-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah.
Was that right?
So let me get this straight. We're talking about NASCAR and Ricky Stenhouse being from Mississippi. And you're on your phone wanting to know the curling results.
I was looking at the medal counts. Norway leads with 30. Italy in second with 24. United States with 20. It's the top three.
Where's Russia? East Germany. Oh, wait a minute. They don't have an East Germany anymore.
Helga has retired, Kelly.
China has zero gold medals, though.
Of course they do. They're not going to win any medals. We're not going to let them win any medals.
Hey, for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, or peepers, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden, or if you need to be able to read when you're in the bathroom, you can find the peepers like Kelly has at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. I don't know where that came from.
That was
I
so
apologize.
Strange.
I apologize for that. Kelly was on my mind, I guess. MCS is Hattiesburg New Improvement Home Center.
Well, Kelly was talking about Mardi Gras and what he did. He couldn't find a restroom or something?
No, I'm just saying, you know, it's Fat Tuesday, which is my patron saint holiday.
Yeah.
down at...
There's no way anybody's still listening.
And Bourbon Street has got to be nuts, of course, today, because you're talking about going down to Hammond maybe for the ball game tonight, and I don't know what kind of... Maybe no traffic
Hurry
at
up.
All.
I want to get back to you in the toilet. I got a good story.
Okay, no, just it's just crowded, and I became disoriented. I didn't know where I was. There were so many people on Bourbon Street, and it's kind of freaked out.
You think I'm kidding about Kelly valuing the toilet at his house in the bathroom? A few years ago for Christmas, Kelly gave me a Luma Bowl, and it was a device that you put in the toilet, and at night when you went in the bathroom to use the bathroom, it would light up. It would light up the toilet.
The inside of the bowl. I have asked my wife for that for the past four Christmases, and she still hasn't given it to me.
Well, it's a great thing, and there was a great story. My son and daughter-in-law were at the house one weekend right after Kelly had given me the Luma Bowl, and I happened to hear Lana get up and go in the bathroom.
Did she scream?
And close the door, and I heard her go, "What is this?" It was Kelly's Luma Bowl. It was flashing colors at her as she went into the bathroom. You still have one, Kelly? I still have mine.
Look, at our age, man. You
really want one too, don't you?
I would. I've asked Carrie for that for several times now.
You get
no result yet.
You get up in the middle of the night, man. You don't want to be, painting all over the walls.
You just kind of close your eyes and pretend you're in a disco. I mean, it was really cool.
Yeah, put a little Donna Summer on there and make an event out of it.
I would always put Donna Summer on when I would get up in the middle of the
night. You remember
her,
Dima?
Why don't we pick the game tonight? Do you think Southern Miss is going to beat Southeastern Louisiana tonight?
Of course I do. Yes. I think they're going to beat about everybody they play.
I think Southern Miss wins the game easily tonight.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't think Southeast Louisiana is off to a good start, and they got to be looking at, oh God, look who's coming here tonight, and so I like the Golden.
But don't
take it for granted.
I was just going to say that because they didn't have a good weekend.
They beat Southern Miss there last year.
No. Remember Nick Monaster with that grand slam?
Oh, you're right. Did it twice to him.
Did it twice.
Didn't
they came.
Did,
you're exactly. They came correct. Here and Nick hit it again or something.
You're exactly correct about that. But they were close games.
Very close games.
Yeah.
But Southeastern had a really good team last year.
Yeah.
When does spring football start? The end of March?
End of March.
Okay.
We just got the schedule, I think.
Right. Make a note for this holiday. We know what we're getting the kids.
Yes.
We know what we're buying from the Eagle Hour. All right. That wraps it up. We'll have Travis Creel on the show tomorrow to analyze tonight's game and Missy Bilderback to talk about.
We got great shows all week, Bob.
We do. And Jay Ladner is joining us Thursday. So we're looking forward to all that. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the ball game tonight. Southern Miss.
To the top. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.